The Senate will please come to order, and the clerk would please call the roll.
Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli.
Oh, he does. Thank you.
Ferrioli. George. George. Gerard. Gerard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Cruz. Metzger. Bonas Anderson. Bonas Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Morse. Nelson. Nelson. Przanski. Przanski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors. The Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Senator Bates. To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Unanimous consent is requested to show a visual. All those in favor by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Our invocation today will be presented by your Senate President, Senator Jackie Winters, this morning. because today we celebrate and honor the life of Dr. Martin Luther King. Dr. King was a humanitarian, a civil rights leader, an author, as well as a Baptist preacher. He leaves a legacy as an outstanding American, and while he is a source of pride for African American and Black heritage, Dr. King stood for justice, fairness, decency, and equality for all. Dr. King received the Nobel Prize at the age of 35. He was assassinated on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee, on April 4, 1968, the day after he delivered his "I Have Been to the Mountaintop" speech. He was only 39 years old. Despite personal abuse of being water-hosed, spat on, attacked by dogs, arrested, spent time in jail, and his home bombed, he remained steadfast in his desire for freedom for all. I pray this morning, Father, that we thank you for Dr. King's legacy and for the opportunity that you gave Senator Avell Gordley and I to tour the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, Tennessee, during the time when our sister, Senator Margaret Carter, was elected the president of Noble Women. The poster before the assembly today is a visual reminder from that museum of our nation's past struggles for freedom because, and I quote, "We cannot know where we are going until you know where you have been. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." Those are the last words of the "I Have a Dream" speech delivered to over 200,000 people at the Lincoln Memorial during the March on Washington on August 28, 1963. Father, we thank you for Dr. King's words of hope. We are grateful that he had the faith and the courage to lead, that his vision was that we as a nation will one day be transformed into a beautiful symphony, that there will be the day when all God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring." In his "I've Been to the Mountaintop" speech, he also said he would not get there with us. It has been 45 years since the famous "I Had a Dream" speech, 146 years since Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, and 233 years since our country Declaration of Independence that stated all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator. It has taken America 207 years to create a holiday honoring a person of African descent when on November 2, 1983, President Ronald Reagan signed a bill creating a federal holiday to fall on the third Monday of every January. At tomorrow's inauguration in Washington, D.C., Barack Obama, a person of African descent, will take the oath of office as the 45th President of the United States of America. We will at last be able to embrace the day when all God's children, regardless of race, gender, color, religion, or ethnic background will be able to join in the chorus of Free at Last, Thank God Almighty, We Are Free at Last, fulfilling Martin Luther King's dream of a colorblind society. I can't help but think that Martin Luther King Jr. and those who struggled before and after him is looking down on us today. Father, as we look into the future, we pray for optimum health and mental clarity for President-elect Barack Obama. We pray you grant him wisdom and courage as he leads this nation in prosperity. We thank and praise you for answering our sincere prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. In honor of Martin Luther King's Day, we have a musical presentation by Patty Jay, who's legislative assistant to Senator Monroe. She will perform two songs on the piano, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and Old Freedom. Courtesies of the Senate. Senator Pogranski.
Madam President, I'd like to take an opportunity to introduce the body to one of my other interns. Drew Stillman is here. He's a second-year law student from the University of Oregon. He'll be working with my office on Mondays, working with the other intern that we have, hoping to give me a little more clarity and assistance. Drew is contemplating what he's going to do after law school, whether he's going to be working on the policy side or if he's going into the advocacy as a trial lawyer. Has some focus toward the environment. His outside activities include running, swimming, and hiking. And he is a graduate of Whitman College. Thank you, Madam President.
Drew, welcome as an intern to the good senator. I'm sure he will keep you busy running back and forth so that you will stay in shape while you're here at the Capitol. Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, I'd like to introduce to you today an intern who will be with me on Mondays, Kira Tepala. Kira graduated from Newburgh High School, and she's currently studying at Portland State University. She has a major in political science, and she's going to double major in art history. So please join me in making her feel welcome at the Capitol. Thank you.
Kira, welcome to the Senate, and we hope that at one point in your career that you will maybe one day be sitting in the Senate. Remonstrance. Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Madam President and members. This is Martin Luther King Holiday. He was my boyhood hero. My parents were both educators, and I remember my mother having me read every speech that he ever gave, letters from a Birmingham jail, and so on. So he had a profound effect on my life. When he was killed, I was teaching high school, and I remember the remorse that I felt, that the pain, and believe me, all of my students felt that pain as I talked to them about his legacy and what he meant to our lives. Then when I became elected to the state Senate and we got the Martin Luther King holiday through in 83, it was my chagrin that we didn't recognize it as a school holiday. I had been chosen by this body to be their representative on the Commission on Black Affairs, and as such, I introduced legislation successfully to create the Martin Luther King School Holiday so that now we fully celebrate this great American. Now, for those of you that want to do even more, on your desk is a flyer which talks about how you can honor Dr. King by doing some volunteer work this afternoon and those opportunities. So I would urge all of you to take a look at this, and if you can possibly squeeze it into your schedule, to do so. While I'm here under remonstrance, I'd also like to thank my assistant, Patty Jay, for the beautiful piano rendition this morning. Thank you.
Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam President. And it's my honor to join you colleagues in celebrating Reverend Martin Luther King's 80th birthday, which it would have been, by reading and sharing with you our sesquicentennial moment for today. This is about the history of the civil rights movement in Oregon. This month, we celebrate the leadership of Martin Luther King Jr. and his profound effect on the civil rights movement. But long before King reached the height of his influence, Oregonians were fighting for the rights of African Americans. As early as 1910, Beatrice Morrow Kennedy published the state's only African American newspaper at the time and helped establish the Portland chapter of the NAACP. But most Oregonians were indifferent to the race question in Oregon until World War II, when the influx of thousands of workers to the Kaiser shipyard turned their indifference into fear of a race problem. After the war, discriminatory housing policies confined African Americans to particular neighborhoods, many of which could not accommodate the large number of people left homeless by the destruction of the residential city of Vanport by the flood in 1948. In 1953, the Urban League and its supporters convinced the legislature to pass Oregon's Civil Rights Bill. With its passage, our state came closer to ensuring that all persons within the jurisdiction of this state be entitled to the full and equal accommodations, advantages, facilities, and privileges of any place of public accommodation, resort, or amusement without any distinction, discrimination, or restriction on account of race, religion, color, or national origin. Colleagues, as we remember Reverend King, who believed that all struggles for justice are connected and that no one is free until all of us are free, let us remember our history in Oregon and celebrate how far we have come and how far we still have to go. Thank you.
Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam President and colleagues. Kind of a human interest story in light of the day. There was, and it's been a few years ago, an African-American basketball coach in the Pac-10 by the name of George Raveling, and he coached at Washington State and then at USC. But in 1963, at the age of 26, he was back in Maryland visiting friends, and they heard on TV about this event that was going to happen in Washington, D.C., and they thought that might be worth attending. So they went down the day before to kind of scope it out, and they ran into some people who are helping put on the event, And they were asked if they would like a job, because they said they did not have enough security people for this event. And they said, sure. And so they got a job, and the job they had, their security position was by the podium. And so Martin Luther King gave his speech, which is so famous now, but at that point in time, it was just part of what was happening. And George Raveling was so impressed by the speech, because he's right there by the podium, that after King was done, George Raveling asked King if he could have a copy of the speech, and King just handed him the copy of the speech that he had. Okay? And so Raveling kept it, folded it up, put it in a book where it stayed for years. Okay, but obviously at some point in time he realized this might have some actual historical value, so he still has it, and it's now displayed in a airtight case, so it will be preserved. Interestingly enough, the speech was 3 pages long. Old typewriter, double spaced, the way we all used to do it when we were in school. Remember the typewriter days? And Raveling also said that what was interesting is that Martin Luther King actually deviated from the prepared text, which doesn't surprise me, because I think he was probably better off the cuff than he was off the page. So I just thought you'd find that interesting. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Cruz. Also on your desk is a chronology of the African American history that has been reproduced, so that you can not only remember where we were during Dr. Martin Luther King's term, but also prior to. There's quite an evolution of history that's there. Messages from the House. Okay. Reports from the conference committees. Reports from standing committees. Reports from special committees. Proposition and motions. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction and first reading of Senate measures.
Senate Joint Memorial 4, urging Congress to enact legislation that waives fees and tuition for family members of service members killed or severely disabled in line of duty. Senate Joint Resolution 7, proposing an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to sobriety checkpoints. Senate Joint Resolution 8, designating an airstrip at Aurora State Airport as West LaMotta Field. Senate Joint Resolution 9, proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to limitations on non-economic damages. Senate Bill 340, relating to Oregon Project Independence, property money, and declared emergency. Senate Bill 341, relating to community-based care. Senate Bill 342, relating to unemployment compensation for certain educational institution employees. Senate Bill 343, relating to public employee retirement. Senate Bill 344, relating to county officers. Senate Bill 345, relating to motorcycle registration plates. Senate Bill 346, relating to domestic partnerships. Senate Bill 347, relating to applicability day for estates claiming inheritance tax credits. Senate Bill 348, relating to safety of school sports and declared emergency. Senate Bill 349, relating to senior citizen principal residence property tax exemption, and providing that this act shall be referred to the people for their approval or rejection. Senate Bill 350, relating to elevators. Senate Bill 351, relating to property tax exemption for religious leader drawings. Senate Bill 352, relating to sobriety checkpoints and prescribing effective dates. Senate Bill 353, relating to nomination by individual electors. Senate Bill 354, relating to claim settlement for motor vehicle insurance policies. Senate Bill 355, relating to electronic prescription monitoring program and declared emergency. Senate Bill 356, relating to civil forfeiture, property money, and declared emergency. Senate Bill 357, relating to ineligibility for unemployment benefits. Senate Bill 358, relating to punitive damages. Senate Bill 359, relating to evidence. Senate Bill 360, relating to lobbying. Senate Bill 361, relating to class action. Senate Bill 362, relating to contingent fees.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate measures. Third reading of Senate measures. First reading of House measures. Second reading of House measures. Third reading of House measures. Other business of the Senate. In accordance with SR 8.403, committee referral list number 8 was distributed to members January 16th. The referrals will be recorded in the journal and status report, so ordered. Announcements. Recognizing Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Democrats will not caucus at noon. Stand by for changes in the caucus schedule later this week.
If there are no further announcements, And without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 11:30 Wednesday, January 21st.